Well, good evening to you all. It's good to see you. Thank you for coming along. We're continuing, obviously, this series in Mark's Gospel. And over the past couple of weeks or so, we've noticed that even in the early stages of our Lord's ministry, that there's been growing opposition to him. And almost really with this particular event and next week's, as we go into chapter 3, we see almost a crescendo, as it were, of conflict towards our Lord, mainly from the Jewish leaders. Those in this case are the Pharisees, who we've come across on many a times. And obviously both the events this week and next week take place on the Sabbath. And the title of this particular thought this evening, one that was on the plan, is Lord of the Sabbath. Life is full of rules and laws, isn't it, really, when you think about it? We're governed, it seems, by laws more and more. We have tax laws, wonderful. Tax laws, and we have property laws, we have traffic laws, we have laws relating to marriage, family, schools of codes of conduct. And of course, major corporations, businesses have pages and pages and pages of policy. But of course, within God's word, we also see laws that are there for a purpose. And particularly those that are dealing with the Sabbath, the day that God gave to the Jewish people. And you remember the laws that were given off Sinai, the Decalogue, or as we often call them, the Ten Commandments, that were given. But the interesting thing, and we need to know this as we go into here, is that although we are dealing with the Pharisees here, as Jewish history passed from the Israelites moving out of the wilderness into the Promised Land and on, the rabbis, they actually started to fine-tune God's laws. And in that fine-tuning, they started to add things to God's law. And there are numerous things, even in relation to observation of the Sabbath day, that you will never find in Scripture. But because the rabbis brought this in over tradition and over time, these have been almost binding upon the people. Almost binding upon the people, just like Scripture should be. And I'll mention a few later on, but just so that you're aware, the pernickety nature, if there is such a real word as that, but you know what I mean, nature about the Sabbath, is that the rabbis included a Sabbath day journey. We've heard of that before. Well, they decided that they would put the number of paces that represented a Sabbath day's journey. 1,999. If you do 1,998 on the Sabbath day, everything is fine. You do two more than that, or one above what is expected, you are breaking Sabbath law. Quite ridiculous in some ways. Maybe that's what they were thinking when they saw the disciples walking through the grain fields. I don't know. That's not down there. We're not, excuse me, we're not told concerning that. But they did also have inclusion within the Sabbath day prohibition, was that there shouldn't be any unnecessary labour, and that we understand. And they talked about the fact they were plucking the heads of the standing corn that was there, and therefore they were reaping the crops. Well, we'll come back to that in a moment when we actually look at that particular passage. When God created man, he gave us laws and commandments that we should learn, follow, and obey. But we need to be very careful, and the church needs to be very careful, we don't twist things. We don't add things that we do not find in Scripture. We should not add one dot, one tittle, one iota to God's word. It is sufficient, and it is the inspired word of our Heavenly Father. So let's look at this portion just for a few moments, truly for just a few moments. And really, we could sum up the whole of this portion from 23 to 28 really as God's laws are made for our benefits. That was the purpose of them. They are there for our benefits. We see in verses 23 and 24 really an accusation that the Pharisees placed towards Jesus' disciples. I think we have to just explain, yes, the rabbis had were able to change the laws. The Pharisees were not. The Pharisees were basically there to ensure the observation of the moral law. That's what they had to do. And that's why they are pointing the finger. But here we see a situation, as my mother used to always say, if you point the finger at one person, three are pointing back at you. And here we have the situation with the Pharisees in this particular case. So on this particular Sabbath day, Jesus was going through the grain fields and his disciples were walking with him. And they began to pick some heads of grain. And the Pharisees said to him, look, why are they doing what is unlawful or not lawful, depending on your translation, on the Sabbath? Can I just point out from the outset, what is important to understand is that the Pharisees were not upset, what they weren't upset about. They weren't suggesting that the disciples were stealing. They weren't suggesting that they were stealing. In fact, back in Deuteronomy and chapter 23, we read these words. When you come into your neighbor's vineyard, you may eat your fill of grapes at your pleasure, but you shall not put any into your container or into your basket, in other words. Likewise, when you come into your neighbor's standing grain, which exactly explains what was happening here, you may pluck the heads with your hand, but you shall not use a sickle on your neighbor's standing grain. So here they were doing really nothing that was wrong. That wasn't the problem. The problem for the Pharisees was the fact that it was done on the Sabbath. Observing the Sabbath, of course, was hugely important to the Jews, and particularly to the Pharisees, who prided themselves upon the fact that they always kept the law down to the last detail. The rabbis had added 39 main types of work beyond what is in God's law. And then they had subdivided those into six categories as well. They had added and added and added. Number three on their list was to do with no reaping on the Sabbath. Now, of course, they had some biblical basis for this. And so much of what was twisted and added came from biblical basis. Because back in Exodus 34, verse 21, it says, 6 days you shall labor, but on the seventh day you shall rest. Even during the ploughing season and harvest, you must rest. And though it may have been unlawful, one cannot say that the taking of some grain, of standing wheat, was reaping. And the interesting thing is, they were hungry. And that was sufficient, going back to Deuteronomy. And the interesting thing is that our Lord's response to them in verses 25 through to 28, he doesn't even get into the debate, does he, with the Pharisees about whether what the disciples were doing was lawful or not. What he does is give them three statements, you notice. And first of all, he goes back into the Old Testament and he talks about David. Have you never read? Imagine saying that to the Pharisees. Can you imagine how that must have really stung? Surely you have read. Haven't you ever read? You Pharisees, experts in the law? How David entered the tabernacle, really, in the days of Abiathar, the high priest, and he ate the consecrated bread, as Simon read in his Bible, the bread of the presence. The history or the background to that story, I'm sure you know, but if you allow me, just for a few moments, explain what had happened. David wasn't king yet, but he was still on the run from Saul. And he and his men were hungry and in need. And so they go up to the tabernacle because they want to see if there's any bread left. And there's no normal bread left. This bread of the presence. So that you're aware, every Sabbath day, the priest would bake 12 loaves of bread. And he would place them on the golden table, pure gold, and he would put them in two rows of six. And they would be left there. At the end of the week, he would make 12 more. He would put them on, take those off, and those that were taken off could only be eaten by the priest and his sons. This is the bread that David and his friends did eat. And whether it was right or not, we're told they were hungry and in need. So why did Jesus bring this up when really it almost was shooting yourself in the foot, as we say? Because it was supposedly unlawful. Well, I think the reason for that is that, of course, for the Pharisees, David was the absolute ideal king, wasn't he, of Israel. He was the supreme king of Israel. Jesus had been preaching, and he brings out about this man whom the Pharisees thought so much about. God's law is for our benefit. It's for our benefit. God doesn't give us laws to make us miserable and take away the enjoyment of life. On the contrary, they're designed for our good. That was the purpose. That was the purpose. That is the purpose of God's word. So even as the disciples possibly had been breaking Sabbath law, and they actually weren't, Jesus was saying that God's gift to mankind, his word, and of course that could be a capital W as well, is for our absolute benefit. And he goes on and he says in verse 27, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. We know back in Genesis chapter 1 how God created man on the sixth day and then he rested. And the important thing to notice is that man came first and the Sabbath came after. Man was created first and then the Sabbath was created for man. This was the day to rest from work, a day for refreshing, a day for enjoyment, a day to worship your God and Creator, the one who rested from his work on the seventh day. And that's why Isaiah says in Isaiah 58 that we should call the Sabbath delight, a delight. Isaiah 58:13. Call the Sabbath a delight. I'm not sure that that is true this day and age when we look at the world today. I'm not sure that the Sabbath, whichever day it is celebrated, is classed as a delight. I trust for you and for me it is. To come into his presence, to come in this corporate form of worship. You see, God's law was given to set us free. God's word was given to set us free. But the rabbis, because of all their extras, had caused so many restrictions, it's as if they'd put them in chains. The Sabbath had become tiresome, restrictive, a burden to bear rather than a day of worship and rest. Did you know, if you get a knot in your shoelace, you have to leave it there on the Sabbath. You cannot fix it, untie it. You have to leave it. If you have a rip in your garment of any sort, you can put one stitch, but not two. If you want to write a letter, you can write one letter, but not two, on the Sabbath. These were the type of things that were becoming brought in and were so restrictive. But ultimately, what does the Sabbath mean to you? What does the Sabbath mean to us? God in his goodness has set aside one day in the week for you and for me, for worship and for rest. The Jewish people in the Old Testament observed the Sabbath on a Saturday. We observe it on a Sunday, the day that our Lord rose from the dead. But whatever day that is set aside, we realise that the Sabbath was made for us. God doesn't want us to work non-stop, 7 days a week without taking a break. He doesn't want us to miss out on corporate worship. So he gave us the Sabbath so that we could slow down, that we could rest from our work, gather together as God's people to worship, to pray, days when we could come around the table. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And our Lord concluded his third statement in verse 28. Therefore, the Son of Man is also the Lord of the Sabbath. The Pharisees had been questioning our Lord's judgment in allowing his disciples to pick up and eat grain on the Sabbath. But Jesus is the Son of Man. You remember in our previous sermons on this, you remember how when that paralytic or crippled man was brought to before the Lord, and our Lord forgave him his sins. And Jesus indicated that at that point, I do this that you might know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. You see, he is Lord of all. He is the one who gave the Son. And the significance of Jesus' statement is this. Basically, he is saying, I am Lord of the Sabbath. I made the Sabbath. That is my gift to you. I am sovereign over the Sabbath. I am creator. Here he was talking in that phrase about his own deity. His own deity. And it was from this point we know how the opposition sought ways in which they could kill him. God's word is a lamp unto my feet, unto our feet. It is a light unto our path. And when we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is Lord of the Sabbath, we are set free. Not bound by some of the things, we are set free because he is the one who set his face towards Jerusalem. And he endured all that for you and for me. The Sabbath day, the coming together to celebrate the most wondrous gift that was ever given, the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. Surely in our hearts we should have such joy and desire. And as Isaiah said, delight to come into his presence and collectively worship him, for he alone is worthy of all worship and praise.